had to work through forgiveness. My husband had to work through forgiveness. And because of you, and because you told me to take this deal home with me, you didn't give a hoot how I acted in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's easy. You come in here and you smile and you say, you're going to have hemorrhoids and come in here and smile and say, hi, how are you? You hoo-hoo. But how do you act when you're out there? How do you act at home? You know, but you told me that, you know, those people at home, they needed support and love. And it wasn't going to be easy, and it wasn't. But you said, you do what you need to do. You take this thing out of here. You use it in the drugstore. You use it in the grocery store. You use it when you're driving along the freeway and somebody cuts you off. I know what I want to do. And you know what? Once I did it, and guess who drove up beside me? Yoo-hoo! Toot toot! Yoo-hoo! A member of the home group. Oh. They're on you, like big sister and big brother. So it was a slow process. My son Bruce didn't talk to me for 3 years. I'd go into a room, he'd walk out. And I continued to go to his hockey games and his baseball games like you told me to do. And one day, before a championship game, when he was pitching, his eyes searched the stands and found mine, and he saluted me with a ball. And after the game was over, he said, you know, Mom, it doesn't make any difference if we win or we lose as long as you're here. And I could talk to him. My son John, the baby, the one that was like the Rat Fink, who would say, oh, Mom, I bought something in a brown paper sack. And I think I know what she did with it. Bless his heart, he came in the door one day when I was first sober, and he said he wanted lunch. And I didn't know how to make lunch. I didn't boil an egg till I was 9 months sober. And I called my sponsor, and I was crying, and I said, he wants lunch. And all of a sudden, this baseball hat and these eyes come up over the counter. He said, I'll teach you how to make lunch. So he got out the peanut butter and the jelly and the bread, and he puts it on. He puts it together, and he said, that's a sandwich. Now you make one. And with tears streaming down my face, I made my first sober sandwich while a seven-year-old patted me and said, job well done. It's, you know, my daughter Ann, the worst thing she said she had to learn was to back off when I had to learn how to be a wife and a mother again. And the same with my daughter Linda. And today we're just all so tight-knit because of you. The girls call me on a regular basis, and my sons live close. They're both fine, fine paramedics and firemen. My girls are married, and their grandchildren, they've never seen their grandmother drunk. Never. My oldest grandchild in California called me this morning, and she said, Grandma, she said, you scared? I said, I'm nervous as heck. She said, you know what you say to me all the time, let go, you know, and she's, and God bless her. That's Candace, and she's having her, she and her husband are having their first baby. It's born on the, due on the 4th of July, and she said she wanted me there more than anything with her mom, and so my kids bought me a ticket for my birthday, and it's one of those tickets that when she goes in labor, I call the airline, and I'm on a plane, and I'm gone. Sobriety, what a deal. And you know, it's, that wonderful man who hung in there. You know, he was a man who lived the 12 steps, and he wasn't an alcoholic. We got to know each other again. We got to walk in the sunshine with each other. We held hands. He taught me a lot about what love is, like you, unconditional love. And we became the best friends ever. And when I was 4 years sober, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid monocytic leukemia. And God, I felt like I'd been punched in the soul. And